My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here, and we are so thankful that you're here this morning. As we have been starting this new year, we've been starting a new series called Reformed. In this series, we are talking about just the ways in which our formation has both been things that have been bad, that we have been formed and deformed in ways that are not close to the way of Jesus. And honestly, we've seen that it can be in culture, but that can also be in the church. And so one of the things that we're looking at in this series is the way that church has operated, the way that our faith has operated, that needs to be reformed. And so as we do that, we want to remind ourselves that as disciples of Jesus, there's a paradigm that which we exist in our growth and formation of Jesus. And it's three things. It's being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. This is what it looks like for us as we walk day in and day out, becoming disciples of Jesus. This is the paradigm that we live by. And this morning, when we're talking about being reformed and talking about our formation, one of the things and the topics that we really feel like we need to discuss as a church that hasn't been done very well, if we're honest, is a conversation around mental health. And as I was preparing for this series, I kind of kept looking at what is the statistic and what is a snapshot of what mental health looks like for us in the world today. And some of these things were quite shocking, but also some of them, unfortunately, I could guess. One of the things is that approximately one out of every five adults experiences some sort of mental health challenge. Women have higher rates than men. And this is one thing that I found really interesting, is young adults 18 to 25 have the highest rate of 36.2% of the population struggle with mental health challenges. Anxiety is the number one mental health challenge reported in all groups and stages. Depression is the next highest. And one of the things, if we've been looking about this, is the church has done a good job in the last 5 to 10 years about how it engages in conversations around mental health, especially in youth groups and in small groups. But the church at large has still yet been unable to get rid of or push aside some of the stigmas that we have lived through over the last 3 decades. And so really, if we are going to fully shed the stigma around mental health, we need to be people in a church that is consistently seeking out to further healing and not hurt. That we need to be a community that seeks to heal and become whole instead of participate in the hurt and the ostracization of people who struggle with mental health challenges. And so this morning I want to read in Psalm 94. If you have your Bible in front of me, I'd encourage you to open it up, whether that's digital or physical. But this is going to be Psalm 94, verses 16 through 19. And it says, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we are your children. You have proclaimed in the Psalms that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That when we were formed in our mother's womb, there was not one thing that was out of sight from you. But since the moment that we have had our first breath, God, we know that we live in a fallen world that is difficult, that is marred with challenges. And so, Lord, would you come this morning? Would you remind us of your Son who came not for the whole, but for those that are broken? Not those that had it all together, but Father, those who humbly seek you. So Holy Spirit, would you come, would you open our eyes to see one another with clear eyes. Holy Spirit, would you come and open our ears to hear the ways that you are calling us to move. God, and when you open our hearts to receive the word that you have for us this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. Hey friends, one of the things in the church that you may have experienced, but one of that I've also experienced growing up in the church, I've grown up in my entire life in the church, and one of the things that we really have experienced is that mental health challenges, one of the deformation places that we need to walk away from, is this idea that mental health challenges are a sin or a sign of spiritual weakness. Now, one of the things that I, you know, growing up in the church, one of the verses that you might hear that would allow you to be like, oh, this is where we came from. And this is the thing that good people wanting to encourage the body of believers who struggle with mental health challenge to lead them towards Jesus, but often do and create pain and harm into one another. Like Matthew chapter 6, verse 44, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of itself. Right? And then if somebody is anxious or struggled, you'd be like, oh, maybe Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, pray. Or you might go back into the Old Testament and you might be in Joshua and he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this is one of the things that we can kind of get into this place of mixing this understanding of worry versus mental health. And just saying like that we shouldn't worry, otherwise we're living in sin. And one of the things that can be is like we're all living in sin. But there is a distinction between being anxious and worrying about things that are grounded in just our normal day to day. Like what he talks about, like don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Right? Those are normal worries that, yes, when we live into those places, we live into just natural worries that puts us outside of our framework or focusing on Jesus and more about on ourselves and the things that we're going through. But mental health challenges are completely something other than that. Like, they are not limited in and live in this contain of just worry. Nor is it a place of spiritual weakness. One of the things that I have heard leaders say as I have been in student ministry and been in ministry is one of the things that I heard a leader say as one of my students was struggling with mental health and particularly something that had a physical manifestation is they walked up to the person and they said, if you just had a little bit more faith in Jesus, you wouldn't be experiencing this. And it hurt me because we had prayed for this young lady and we had created a space for her for years, trying to bring her back into the place where the church had hurt us. And then right there in the midst of working years and years, in a matter of seconds, the church destroyed every sense of trust that had been built up. But it's not only that I had talked to another friend, our child's babysitter who, from Connecticut, has walked with me, through this and her struggle. And she said, like, there are good things that the church is doing, but there's also things that hurt. One of the things that as she struggled with mental health challenges is that the church was having a prayer service and a healing prayer service. And she had been, dealing with mental health challenges, for most of her life. And they had been doing things that have helped learn to cope with these mental health challenges, but they had come to this head where they were bringing and creating space for people to come and to be prayed for. And she was brought up and prayed for in the power of the Holy Spirit and anointing with oil that this mental health challenge that she had been living with chronically would leave. And that if she just prayed, along with those who've been praying, that she would be healed. And yet the next morning arrived, and the next month, and the next year, and she's continued to struggle, and has felt inadequate about the faith that she believes, like, and when she's heard, he's like, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain from here to there. And it made her question, do I not have faith? And so church, we have done a disfavor in our formation of deforming people to believe that if you are struggling with mental health, that the church isn't a place for healing, but a place hurts. But in Corinthians, when Paul is writing to the church, he says this, and I think it is incredible. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And one of the things that you might see is the two words that stand out for me are this word troubles. This word troubles in the Greek means severe stress and suffering. This is different than worrying. The troubles are not just something that are light, but this is severe stress, severe suffering that sends that manifests itself in both physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental states. And then out of a response of these troubles, that the Lord comforts those who are in troubles. And so as the church, we have to start in the way of Jesus. If the Father comes, who is full of compassion, meets and closes the gap to those who are experiencing extreme and severe stress and discomfort, both physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional, we have to close and bridge the gap, the divide between who God is as a healing, comforting God, and the gap between the church and how the church operates and how it can possibly hurt. We have to close and bridge the gap and the divide between the characters of the Bible that I read and find and the kids are talking about downstairs, and Moses, who struggles with speech and anxiety when he's going to be asked to speak before Pharaoh. The divide between the characters I read and the people who the people of the church meets, and how they somehow are not invited or welcomed in with the same anxieties, the same mental health challenges. And so if we're going to bridge the gap between the divide, we have to start telling ourselves the truth about our mental health challenges. Like in our reformation, we have to tell ourselves the truth. And I think one of the things that we don't talk about enough is the people that stand before you, that are pastors, that are called. 74% of pastors consider that their mental health to be of the utmost importance. Yet, only 37% of pastors believe that they are free to talk about their mental health. The divide between those things are daunting. And over the last 2.5 years, I haven't talked about it much. But over the last 2.5 years, I've dealt with anxiety and panic attacks. I've had them in this room during service, and I've had people who have comforted and created a special place for me to work through them without judgment. You see, this new role of being a lead pastor for the first time, to be in a new community, to have many unknowns, being responsible for the well-being of a body of believers is a great weight. And as a person who has dealt with anxiety in the past and someone who has ADHD, the person, like me, has a higher rate of repeating anxiety in his life than those who have experienced it, and people like myself who have ADHD are 50% higher to have consistent anxiety throughout their life. And this is me. This is my life. This is the place where I've had to learn as the way that I have been formed to continue to walk faithfully with Jesus, and yet in the reality that anxiety grips my daily life. But it is in the truth that I ground myself. I tell myself the truth about my anxiety. And often this is one of the scriptures that have gone to consistently over the last few years. If your heart is broken, you will find God right there. If you are kicked in the gut, he will help you catch your breath. See, one of the things that I love about this is that God hasn't walked away from you. That if you are broken and you feel like you have fallen to pieces and that there is nobody that can put yourself back together, even you have an inability to put yourself back together, God is with you. He is right there. He doesn't promise that you won't break or be broken, but he promises to be there. It doesn't say that God will keep you from the struggles of pain, the physical, being kicked in the gut, losing your breath, feeling like you can't catch your breath, like things are, your body is physically out of control. but he will help you heal. The Lord who knows how your body is wired can teach you the rhythms of being grounded in healing that both heal you spiritually, emotionally, and physically. See, some of the reformed truths that we need to be living as a church is that you can have deep faith and experience mental health challenges. You can have deep faith, have an active prayer life, read scriptures, and yet move on from that and feel the deep sense of mental and physical challenges that make you feel like you are a prisoner in your own body. You can have deep faith and still struggle with mental health. We need to say this as a church. You can have deep faith and have a counselor. There is not a divide between the science and the understanding of the brain and is disassociated with who the Creator God is. That He has gifted people who are concerned and want to understand the imbalances that happen in the brain chemically and emotionally and help people walk through that in faith. That phrase that we had up, tell your truth about your mental health challenges, was that came from my counselor that still sits on my whiteboard downstairs in my office. And it says in my office, it says, tell the truth about your anxiety. That when I'm believing something to be a lie, when my body is manifesting something that says that I am in danger, I root myself in the truth. I tell my body, my mind, my soul the truth. That I might be breaking, but my God is right there. I might be physically unable to control myself, and yet in the midst of that moment, the Lord is healing me. I meet with a counselor monthly. I meet with a spiritual director monthly. I meet with a coach because I believe that what is happening in my mind and in my body are not disassociated with what is happening in my faith. That I believe if God has been the creator of all things that we see and things that we don't see, that it is not a sin to be walking with people who are trying for me to help me work with the inner life. That often we as people just are worried about our physical life, but yet the inner world is something that we have yet to explore. And there are spiritual counselors, there are spiritual directors that are ready and willing, have been called and gifted by the Lord to walk with you. And the other way that we need to be reformed is that you can have deep faith and take medicine to help with your mental health. In the same way that I would and we would trust chemo to help find and cure the imbalance of unhealthy cells in our bodies, that I trust the medicine to do the same thing for my mental health. And we have to get past the stigma that if we believe that one thing is good for you and right and okay as a follower of Jesus, then the opposite has to be true as well. You are not less. You're not spiritually weak. You are not sinning. Because you too need a little help with the imbalance chemically that is happening in your brain. And it might be for a little while. It might be for a prolonged and extended amount of time. But we don't believe that God will cause or tell us that we will lose our salvation by taking medicine to help with what we sometimes have a hard time controlling ourselves. And as we do that, as we really allow for ourselves to understand that we are reformed in this, what does it mean for us as a church? Because we've talked a lot about that and on reforming our theology around mental health. But we need to reform the way that we are structured as a church. Not in a response to just what we believe, but what we see in Scripture. That our theology needs to be incarnate in our lives and in our community. That needs to become flesh. that the church needs to be a refuge of compassion and hope. That word refuge, I love it. It's a word that we don't use anymore, right? Like nobody goes around and be like, hey, where's your refuge? Like nobody talks about it. You do not describe your house as a refuge. Superman did not talk about his fortress as a refuge. It was his fortress of solitude. When Superman needed to go away, he left everybody. He did not care. He wanted to be by himself. The church is meant to be a refuge. And I love the way that it talks about that. The refuge, in its definition, biblically, that it is a shelter or relief from danger or anxiety. That it is a shelter or relief. It is a place that people go seek that has not only just a physical covering that keeps it safe from all the things exterior on their life that is pounding down, but as a refuge, as a shelter, it's a place that you can find relief, not in isolation, but in community. It has people who are there. There was a student that said this to his pastor that was shared with me, and I loved it. And I've had many students have said the same thing over the years. And the student said, thank you for being a church where I can be depressed. And the pastor was like, well, like, yes, like God calls all people, but he doesn't leave you there. And he's like, no. Not thank you for being a place that can cure my depression. Thank you for a place where I can be depressed and still engage my faith. Thank you for being a place where, what would be a beautiful place where the church could be like, not a place where you have to check your bags at the door, but a place where people bring their hurt, their disappointments, and yet meet a God who doesn't ask them to be healed right away, to push aside their trauma, their hurt. But it says, thank you, Lord, for being a refuge when I am depressed. And this is how the Psalm 94 ends. That after he's talking about my anxiety has been full, and the consolation, the communication, the feeling of embrace has brought them joy. It ends in this. It says, but the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. That if the psalmist is talking about how God is the fortress, is the refuge, is the rock in which they have found comfort, have found relief, have found shelter, then we too need to be a people that is a place that is sought to seek refuge in. That people who want to find God and want to find Jesus come to the place in which Jesus exists, the body, the people of God, but also the church. That this place shouldn't be where it's like, oh man, I can only get in during office hours. I can only find a God who is a refuge from 10 to 11:30 at Pine Lake Covenant Church. The refuge can be your house. The refuge can be your small group that you meet with regularly. And then as we seek to be a refuge, we need to be grounded in two things. That we are a shelter of relief that has compassion and hope. That the word of having compassion means to having mercy, sympathy, and empathy. And one of the things that I think is really important when it comes to mental health challenge is those two words, sympathy and empathy. That in compassion, the way that the Lord, we saw in Corinthians, that he moves with compassion. He both moves in sympathy and in empathy. And for some of us, when we talk about mental health challenges, that we move in sympathy, that we feel for you that are experiencing mental health challenges, yet we do not have any context in which we can understand what you are going through. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the people that follow Jesus is that even if you haven't experienced something uniquely similar to the person that you are in conversation and in relationship, you can have sympathy for them. We need to learn to be a body of believers and disciples of Jesus who might not know what you're going through, but can feel what you are going through. But we also, for those of us who have and understand empathy. Empathy is not just the feelings, but we have experienced it. for those of us who have experienced mental health challenges in the church and in our lives, you need to give voice to it. You need to let people know that the church is not something that can feel it, can commiserate with you, but you can bring a voice that I too have experienced deep anxiety, deep depression, deep mental health challenges, and this is the way that I have journeyed along in my faith with Jesus Christ. That we need to be a church that has compassion, that both understands and does not understand. That gives voice and allows us to draw close in compassion and feeling and love with people. And then we need to be a people, a refuge of hope. One of the things that I think is incredibly disappointing for me and for us as a church, we have months of mental health awareness. That sports has brought a high, like, view of this. I remember just watching the Summer Olympics a couple years ago and how Simone Biles brought an incredible awareness to mental health struggles. And she not only, like, not participated, but came back from it. And the people outside the church has done a great job of bringing awareness. But one of the things that I think as a church that we have to walk into, it's the same thing as the disciples said to Jesus. He goes, "Where can we go, Jesus? You hold the words of eternal life. You both have the words that will change my life right now in this moment and this instant and transformation. But you have the ability, you have the words that brings hope to every day and every season and every decade and in the life to come after this." That why are we not standing up and saying, yes, as a church, we need to do a better job of discussing mental health, but we also need a place where you can find hope in the living God. That you will not only find hope in what you're going through right now, but you will find healing in the years and the decades and the life to come. Church, if that's not our goal, then we miss the last words of Jesus when he talked to his disciples. That he says, the church is the hope of the world. I honestly believe that the church right now is the hope of the world. And why in the world are we okay with not offering that? We're standing idly in belief that we actually don't really believe that what happens here and what happens in here is the hope for everybody that walks this earth. Like, I don't get it. And yes, we have done some terrible things. The church at large over its history has done some terrible things. And yes, we need to apologize. And we need to build trust. But it does not waver that if Jesus is still living on the throne, if he is still in control all of everything, if his playbook has not changed, he says what we do and who we are is the hope of the world. And if you don't leave believing that, come, let's talk. Because I believe that what happens in all of the hours outside of this moment is a testimony, bears witness to our gathering together. Our gathering together should remind us that what we do here, what changes in us, is the hope that the world needs in the engagement of everybody that we see. I don't know about you. Like, and I don't want to call all of us out. I really kind of want to right now. Because I know this is hard truth, and I know it might make us a little bit stoic. But if we're not reformed to think what you do right now matters, maybe we need to do a gut check with Jesus. Maybe we need to do a gut check that what is happening in our own souls. What do we believe that is happening? What do we believe that the world around us wants from us? Because if it's not this, I don't know what we're doing right now. We need to be the church. We need to be the people that walk in our lives and they ask you, why are you the way that you are? Why do you operate the way you are? Why do you have hope the way that you do? Why do you walk in the same way in the midst of your mental health challenges? And you say, where else am I going to go but Jesus? If that's not your answer, If your answer to life is where else can I go to find life but Jesus, I just want to create some space right now for us to reflect on that. And for us as a church, to be the church that people come and experience this community, this refuge, and they say, I've searched everywhere else, and this is the only place I found life. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray for those right now who have and are and will be experiencing mental health challenges and have felt like this is not a place for them. They have stayed quiet in large part of fear of what the response will be. Holy Spirit, break our hearts. If that be true of us. And Holy Spirit, if we have woken up this morning and we haven't been drawn to you, because we don't believe you have the life eternal as a gift for us, Holy Spirit, would you work in our souls and reveal to us what we are holding on that brings us life other than you? And Holy Spirit, I repent myself of the way that I've held the good news from those who are desperately longing for me to share it. I repent for the choices of myself and the church who have held the gifts of life ransom to the world and to our neighbors, to the stranger. May we be people that give freely, Lord. Give freely. Return the joy of your salvation to our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.